From Pacifica Radio, this is Democracy Now!
I call it a coup d'etat.
Haitian President Jean-Bertrand Aristide calls it a coup d'etat. The security firm that protected him raises questions.
The Republic of Haiti contracted with the Steele Foundation to provide protective services and training to the Office of the President.
And we speak with Danny Glover, actor, UN Goodwill Ambassador, and chair of TransAfrica. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. As many as 400 Marines will be in Haiti by the end of the day, with hundreds more to come. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld says as many as 2,000 U.S. troops could eventually go to Haiti. Rumsfeld says the troops will stay only a short time. An international peacekeeping force is expected to stay longer. Aristide has told the Associated Press he was forced to leave. Secretary of State Colin Powell and Rumsfeld are denying that. But U.S. officials are acknowledging privately Aristide was told U.S. forces wouldn't protect him from rebels if he stayed. Congressional Black Caucus congressmembers and others want an investigation into the way the Bush administration treated Aristide in the hours before he left his country and turned up in the Central African Republic. In Iraq, as many as 140 Shiite Muslims have been killed in coordinated bombings today that targeted Shiites celebrating the sect's holiest day of the year. CNN is reporting 85 people died and hundreds were wounded in Karbala, and at least 50 died in Baghdad. Other news agencies put the death toll closer to 100. A U.S. military spokesman in Baghdad and an Iraqi police spokesman in Karbala reported mortars were fired at religious shrines. The bombings came as Shiites celebrated the festival of Ashura to commemorate the death of the Prophet Muhammad's grandson, Imam Hussein, who was killed in Karbala in the year 680. Meanwhile, in Pakistan, at least another 17 Shiite Muslims were killed during a religious procession in southwestern Pakistan. USA Today's reporting the United Nations will release a report today concluding Iraq had destroyed all of its weapons of mass destruction by 1994. The report is based on several years of UN weapons inspections and public comments by the former chief U.S. weapons inspector, David Kaye. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld has ordered 18,000 National Guard soldiers be alerted for possible duty in Iraq. According to the Washington Post, the Guard has now mobilized more than 143,000 members overseas since September 11, 2001, marking the biggest foreign deployment since World War II. On the campaign trail, voters go to the polls in 10 states today in what's known as Super Tuesday. Political analysts say that unless Senator John Edwards wins at least one state today, it will be nearly impossible to catch up with frontrunner John Kerry. Polls show Kerry winning every state.
Come on.
This is Democracy Now!, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. It's been 2 days since President George W. Bush stepped onto the White House lawn and announced to the world that Haitian President Jean-Bertrand Aristide had resigned. But now the truth is coming out. In a series of phone calls from the Central African Republic to U.S. congresspeople, the Haitian president has attempted to tell the world he was forced from power in what he called a U.S. coup, that he was threatened by what he called white Americans, white military men. Aristide says he was kidnapped along with his wife Mildred, an American citizen, and taken by force to Africa. Last night, Aristide called CNN. Here is some of what the Haitian president had to say.
Americans had the total control. When we spent 20 hours in that plane, without knowing where we go, without having the right to contact our people, and the first lady is an American lady, she didn't have the right even to look at through the windows. They told her, you don't have that right. When this baby, 1.5 years, was in the plane, had to spend 20 hours in the plane, you can imagine this kind of horrible situation. And that's why, again and again, I will be telling the truth. I call it a coup d'etat.
Haitian President Jean-Bertrand Aristide speaking on CNN last night. Democracy Now! First broke the story yesterday morning when Congressmember Maxine Waters said on our program she had just received a call from President Aristide at about 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Waters told us, quote, "He's surrounded by military. It's like he's in jail," he said. "He says he was kidnapped." Congressmember Waters said President Aristide had been threatened by what he called U.S. diplomats. According to Waters, the diplomats reportedly told the Haitian president that if he didn't leave Haiti, paramilitary leader Guy Philippe, a former police chief who was trained by U.S. special forces in Ecuador, would storm the palace and Aristide would be killed. According to Waters, Aristide was told by the United States that they were withdrawing Aristide's U.S. security. TransAfrica founder and close Aristide family friend Randall Robinson also received a call from the Haitian president early yesterday morning and confirmed Waters' account. Robinson told us that Aristide emphatically denied he had resigned. "He did not resign," Robinson said. "He was abducted by the United States in the commission of a coup." The story began to spread rapidly around the world. And as the press briefings began at the White House, State Department, and Pentagon, the administration was forced on the defensive. We begin at the Pentagon, where Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld was questioned by reporters.
Mayor, do a follow-up on that same question. Representative Waters is claiming on Pacifica stations on the West Coast that Aristide was led away in handcuffs by U.S. Marines and claiming that the Marines were part of a coup. Remove him. I wonder if either one of you gentlemen would comment on her comment or claim. Other than the smile.
Trying to pick the right words. If you're asking me, did that happen, the answer is no.
But any embellishment?
I think not today.
General.
In fact, Congressmember Waters did not say that President Aristide was taken away in handcuffs. What she did say was that President Aristide said that he was kidnapped. At a press conference with European foreign ministers, Secretary of State General Colin Powell also responded.
He was not kidnapped. We did not force him onto the airplane. He went onto the airplane willingly, and that's the truth.
Over at the White House, the controversy dominated Press Secretary Scott McClellan's press briefing.
Congresswoman Maxine Waters told us that she had spoken directly with Aristide, who claims that over and over again saying he was kidnapped, that the coup was completed by the Americans, they forced him out, they disabled his American security force, basically saying that he did not resign, he was forced out. America completed the coup.
Okay, I think I just answered Terry's question to that effect. As I said, it's nonsense, and conspiracy theories like that do nothing to help the Haitian people realize the future that they aspire to, which is a better future, a more free future, and a more prosperous future. We took steps to protect Mr. Aristide. We took steps to protect his family as they departed Haiti. It was Mr. Aristide's decision to resign, and he spelled out his reasons why.
You know, there were some third-party reports that were coming out of Haiti, which could be specious as they go up the telephone chain, but this is coming directly from Aristide. What do you think he's up to here? Is he trying to save face?
Johnny, I don't speak for Mr. Aristide. I speak for the president and this administration.
Are you denying that he was kidnapped?
Yes, I just said it's complete nonsense.
Just say it didn't.
I think I just did. I just said it's complete nonsense.
What steps were taken to protect him, and could this have been misconstrued by Aristide?
I've only seen the report that John referenced, so you all might want to check further than that to yourself. But it was Saturday evening that President Aristide's office contacted Ambassador Foley, our ambassador in Haiti, and they asked at that point if Mr. Aristide resigned, would the United States be able to protect him, his family, and his property? And they also asked if we could help facilitate his departure. Ambassador Foley at that point contacted the Department of State and consulted with both Secretary Powell and Assistant Secretary Noriega. And following that consultation, Ambassador Foley called back to Mr. Aristide's office to say that if he decided to leave, the United States could facilitate his departure, and we did.
Given the failure of U.S. policy in the past, not this administration necessarily, but others going way back, in Haiti to make that a stable, prosperous country, is the president more hopeful now? Has the United States learned lessons from the past?
Well, I think you point out something. One, right now our focus remains on bringing about a democratic and constitutional resolution to the situation in Haiti and helping to bring about order and stability in the country. We are working on what is in the best interest of the Haitian people as expressed by the Haitian people. I think the events that you referenced have been a long time in the making. The political stalemate which followed the flawed 2000 legislative elections was central to the crisis. But at the most basic level, recent events were rooted in Mr. Aristide's choices as a leader and the way he exercised the power of his office. And so that's why we pointed out over the weekend that this was a long simmering crisis, largely of Mr. Aristide's making. He failed to adhere to democratic principles, which contributed to the deep polarization and violence in Haiti. And his own actions called into question his fitness and ability to continue to govern Haiti.
That was Scott McClellan, White House press secretary, responding to questions of reporters. President Aristide says he was kidnapped, that he was forced out of Haiti in a U.S.-backed coup d'etat, as he put it. We're joined on the telephone right now by Ramsey Clark, the former U.S. Attorney General. He might have been able to join us in the studio, but was hit by a car this weekend and broke his foot, ankle, and nose. We're sorry about what's happened to you. Ramsey Clark, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Never looked better. Nose out of place and stitches.
Well, you sound good at least. I don't know how much you've been able to pay attention to the world outside of yours right now, but if you could respond to what has happened to Jean-Bertrand Aristide in the last few days.
Well, I have been able to keep up. I was on the phone nearly all day yesterday from home talking to many people about it, John Conyers and Randall Robinson and others. Sometimes you get embedded in details. If you back off and look at it, this is as clear a demonstration of U.S. regime change and by armed aggression, as you'll find. Have you heard President Bush or Colin Powell say a good thing about President Aristide? If you heard them say repeatedly recently he ought to leave, and earlier that he ought to hold new elections, is there a better known enemy of Aristide than Roger Noriega? You see how puffed up he was when he walked into that meeting. Why did they cut off humanitarian aid to the poorest country in the hemisphere when they knew how desperate people were getting? Why did they maintain an embargo? How do you think, you know, the same elements, the old military, FRAP, gangs, got into Haiti with M-16s and M-60s from the Dominican Republic, with which President Bush personally has a close relationship, the president there, except for the United States? Why did we tell Aristide, after they got in, that he should leave? Did we ever tell these gunmen who were killing people, half the casualties that were counted were police officers? Imagine that. People coming in shooting up the police in the United States.
We're talking to former U.S. Attorney General Ramsey Clark, talking about who is now, if you could call it, in control of Haiti. Go ahead, Ramsey Clark. Ramsey Clark joining us on the phone. You were saying, sorry. We're talking to Ramsey Clark, who's the former U.S. Attorney General, talking about the situation. It is important to point out Guy Philippe has come into Port-au-Prince, the former Capacien police chief, as well. Yesterday, Jodel Chamblain in the capital of Haiti. Jodel Chamblain, who was convicted in absentia of the killing of the former justice minister, Guy Mallory, during the coup of 1991 to 1994, among other crimes. Go ahead, Ramsey Clark.
So, you know, you can't say that Powell's lying because Powell isn't informed of the facts. He wasn't there. But he's misstating facts, and he's misstating intention. If he would honestly face the truth, the United States acted in every way to get Aristide out. As we used to say in organized crime, he made him an offer he couldn't refuse. If that's not coercion and kidnapping, if that's not... And it was really by armed aggression, which is the supreme international crime. Because we let these gangs with guns, our guns, come in against police with sidearms, .38 caliber pistols and things, and shoot them up and threaten the president and thousands of other people in Haiti. It was typical, and so for the regime change, what do we get? We get the old regime. You've got the aristocracy that supported Duvalier during 30 years, and the idea that we're going to make a beautiful democracy there and help them economically, how well did they fare during the period from 1915 to 1934 when we occupied the place? What happened after our military occupation in 1994, after we had held Aristide? I always say he was kidnapped then for 3 years of his presidency here in the United States, and then sent him back for 1 year under the promise he would not seek to amend the law so he could run again for the next term. Of course it was regime change. It was to go back to the old days, to the Tonton Macoutes in that crowd, literally. They're kind of creaky now, but they are. They're still around. They're FRAP. We know what kind of characters they are. It'll be interesting to see whether Constant, who we've given refuge here for all these years, will go back down anytime soon. But it's a coup d'etat and a regime change by the United States. It's another intervention in the Western Hemisphere, and it's one of the most shameful of all. And it's also a patchwork of lies to deceive the American people into thinking that this president, who had said time and time again he would not leave, who had said he was not afraid to die, he would give his life, and I believe him, and he was serving a constitutional government, and he was democratically elected. If you go back to the election in 1990, we did everything that we could to prevent him from being elected. We financed a man named Marc Bazin, who we knew and liked, and who was from Haiti and spent a little time there, actually, but a lot more time up here, World Bank and places like that. We gave him millions to run against Aristide. Aristide got 67% of the vote. Bazin got 14% of the vote. And you know who the first prime minister was after our after Aristide was forced to leave, Mark was on, our man. We put him in right after the military coup that forced him to leave. And how did Baby Doc leave when he left? He left in a U.S. Air Force plane. He had a fortune of wealth from the sweat of slave labor's brow in Haiti, and he was taken to the Riviera, where he lived happily ever after. When the coup against Aristide occurred in September of 1991, the U.S. didn't lend a hand. He would have been killed right there if the French ambassador and the president of Venezuela hadn't sent a plane. The ambassador of France provided the wheels that got him out of the palace, and the president of Venezuela provided the plane that got him out. These people have wanted to overthrow this government for a long time. It's interesting that it wouldn't have happened if Aristide had not abolished the army. I happen to favor abolishing armies. I think we need to cut our military expenditures by 75% at least. And until we do, there's a dynamic there that makes it impossible for us not to be a militarist nation that's causing trouble all over the world and trying to dominate people.
Why does the U.S. want Haiti to have an army?
Part of it is ideological. It's a guy like Noriega, it's ideological. He doesn't want, you know, remember when we went into Grenada? We sent 9,000 troops and shot the place up, killed more Grenadians in a few days, and the U.S. lost in all fronts on World War II. It's just a couple hundred people because it's a small island. Ronald Reagan said, beginning to roll back communism, so the dominoes are going to fall the other way. Why did we break up Yugoslavia? Because it was a socialist government that was strong. It was economically progressive. It was going to come through the collapse of the Eastern Bloc, and we didn't want that to happen. We don't want a liberation theologist, because both some religions and liberation threaten us. And particularly when you see what's happening all over Latin America. You've got Lula, you've got Chavez, you've got Gutierrez, you've got people coming on who want to serve their own people and not U.S. interests. So you've got to get every little stumbling block out. And we just have to see if we can protect Cuba and Venezuela and Ecuador and Peru again and Brazil from, and perhaps the way things are going, Argentina from new U.S. interventions. I think a major principle that the people of the United States must insist upon is no more U.S. interventions.
On that note, former U.S. Attorney General Ramsey Clark, thank you for being with us, and I hope you heal quickly.
Bye-bye.
Bye. This is Democracy Now! When we come back, we'll hear from the South African ambassador to the United Nations. The U.S. government has said that President Aristide was denied exile in South Africa. That was news to the U.N. ambassador to South Africa. We'll speak with Danny Glover, and we'll speak with the CEO of Steel Foundation. That's the security firm that has been employed by the Haitian government to protect its presidents since 1998. Stay with us. This is Democracy Now!, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. You can go to our website at democracynow.org for all the latest information on the crisis in Haiti. Last night, I went over to the 10th anniversary of an organization helping South Africans called Shared Interest. Their South African ambassador to the United Nations, Dumisani Khumalo, was being honored. Among those honoring him was actor Danny Glover, who is going to join us right after we bring you the comments of Ambassador Khumalo around the issue of whether President Aristide was denied amnesty, as it was reported yesterday in, among other places, the New York Times. This is Ambassador Dumisani Khumalo.
My understanding is that, as far as we know in South Africa...
Can you start again?
Yeah. No, my understanding is that, as far as we know in South Africa, the government said if President Aristide sought asylum, it would then be considered. He's a head of state. So it has to go to the cabinet. So, you know, it's not unlike if you just come across the fence as one person. And, you know, the only thing that concerns us, in 200 years, he's the only democratic elected leader. And, you know, and you know, we as South Africa went to the 200 years celebrations because we felt it was very important for the people of Haiti, even in this great time, to celebrate at least this celebration.
Is it true what the U.S. is saying, that South Africa denied President Aristide asylum?
No, my understanding, as I said, is that we had not received an official one. But how could he even apply officially? I mean, he was on a plane to Bangui. I mean, you know, so you don't deny somebody who hasn't applied.
That is Dumisani Khumalo, South African ambassador to the United Nations. Standing with him was Danny Glover, actor, chair of TransAfrica, and UN Goodwill ambassador. Welcome to Democracy Now!, Danny Glover.
Thank you, Amy.
It is hard to separate the fact from the fiction in this story. What is being reported in most of the press and what is actually happening on the ground in Haiti and now in the Central African Republic, where President Aristide says he's being held along with his wife, Mildred, the First Lady of Haiti. Your response, you were standing yesterday at the United Nations with the Congressional Black Caucus members who had gone to meet with UN Secretary General Kofi Annan.
Well, quite frankly, it's not difficult to separate the fact from the fiction. It's very clear that, as we see now, through your reporting, through the interviews with several people who are familiar with the Haitian situation, whether it's Ramsey Clark, whether it's members of the Congressional Black Caucus, they are very clear on what the facts are. And certainly the facts are that President Aristide was forced out of office. However we want to couch it, however we want to put it, he was forced out of office. He was forced to flee in the various ways in which you can force people to flee. You can say that we're not protect your life or your family. We can say that certainly the opposition forces or the gangs of thugs who now patrol the Port-au-Prince will kill you if you do not get out. So there are various ways in which that is done. Clearly, we see the culmination of a process that's been going on there for years, a process that's gone on, as most have noted, since the first election of Aristide and the subsequent overthrow by military of his legitimate presidency. We see that continuing to happen, and we see that the United States is playing a very vital role in that, in the destabilization of that democracy. And granted, we look at a democracy, as many have expressed, over 200 years in which he is the first democratically elected president. So we're looking at a place and a country that has withstood and been directly in the face of U.S. policy and has been destabilized by U.S. policy for all of that 200 years of independence. It is an attempt to, in every way, to diminish the expectations of the Haitian people. That's what this process is, to diminish the expectation of a popularly elected democracy. And it's an experiment that we have systematically tried to destabilize.
We're talking to Danny Glover in the studio. On the line with us is Congressmember Barbara Lee of the Bay Area. You both were at the United Nations yesterday. Congressmember Barbara Lee, you met with Kofi Annan, the Secretary General. Mm-hmm. And what is it that you were calling on him to do?
Well, of course, first, let me say thank you again for staying very focused on getting the truth out about what happened in Haiti and Haiti in general. We met with him. It was primarily members of the Congressional Black Caucus and, of course, our good friend and real hero, Danny Glover, to really let him know, one, that as we move forward with regard to Haiti, we want to make sure that the international community comes to Haiti's assistance right away and provide for the humanitarian and economic and infrastructure development assistance that's needed, and also to ensure stabilization and peace right away. I voiced my disappointment at the international community in terms of not stepping up to the plate early and passing a resolution that allowed for the security for a duly elected president, President Aristide, to remain in power, and that I felt the entire world failed in that effort. And, of course, I understood my country's role in that. I also mentioned to him that we'd be having hearings tomorrow. On Wednesday, which we are, I serve on the International Relations Committee, so the Western Hemisphere Subcommittee will be looking into U.S. policy toward Haiti. I'd actually requested this hearing last week before, of course, the tragic events of the week. And we also talked about CARICOM and the very unfortunate position the United States put CARICOM in terms of what it did and the type of activity it conducted over the weekend in terms of assisting with this coup, and how the CARICOM nations really did not intend for this to happen as a result of their negotiations with the U.S., and what a tragic kind of development that is in U.S.-Caribbean relations.
Who will be testifying at your hearing
tomorrow?
We're
in the process of putting together the list. I'm fairly certain that the Assistant Secretary, Noriega, will be testifying. I believe he's been invited. Of course, we know his role in this and recognize the fact that he formerly worked for Jesse Helms, who really had it in for Haiti. So I hope that he will attend. Last week when we met with President Bush, somehow Mr. Noriega had been invited, I guess, by the White House, and his chair remained empty during the entire meeting with Dr. Rice, Secretary Powell, and President Bush. So I'm hoping he shows up.
This was the meeting of the Congressional Black Caucus.
Yes, uh-huh.
And what kind of response have you gotten from the administration at this point since this weekend on what has happened to President Aristide?
Well,
he says now that he has been held against his will, not only forced out of Haiti, but being held against his will in the Central African Republic.
Well, it's the same that they've said publicly. They're saying it's nonsense, that this is part of a conspiracy theory. I actually was in touch with the State Department on Saturday night. My office called in an attempt to locate Secretary Powell, and Saturday and Sunday morning. And what they told us was that President Aristide was on a plane heading to a country of his choice and his destination, and that he willingly left, and all was just fine.
As UN Goodwill Ambassador, Danny Glover, do you have any say or what can you do with the United Nations? And then there's the question of whether of what country does or what administration does the United Nations recognize when it comes to Haiti, who is representing Haiti when the president claims he was forced out?
Well, that's a major certainly a major question that I think all the international community will embrace about who do we support as a legitimate government in Haiti right now. certainly the goodwill ambassadorship, which I am, of the United Nations Development Program, UNDP, is one of basically one of publicity and one as a ceremonial position. And not to do to anything diminish the position, I think it's important in terms of uplifting the stature of the United Nations and the programs that they attempt to put in place for people. But certainly, we're concerned about that. We're concerned, one, first of all, that the thugs that have now entered Port-au-Prince and have been supposedly the leaders of this so-called insurrection be displaced, be as the New York Times today has said, has called them what they exactly are, you know, and place historically what their position has been in terms of the of Haiti, as members of FRAT, as members of the past regimes, the Duvalier regimes, and whatever. So it is clear that we have to position ourselves in a place where, one, we define and say that there must be no violence and attacks on those people, on people. Two, that we also not allow this group to be a part of whatever settlement and whatever new government arises out of this tragedy.
We're talking to actor Danny Glover, who's also chair of Trans-Africa Forum, and Congressmember Barbara Lee. In fact, you had a whole celebration observance planned for the 200th anniversary of the founding of the Republic of Haiti.
Well, there's several things that we had planned. First of all, we made it very clear through the Haitian community, Haitian American community, and through other interested parties in the United States that one of the most important things that we could do is celebrate the 200th anniversary of the founding of Haiti. That it was not only a victory for the Haitian people, it was a victory for people in the fight against slavery, a victory for all oppressed people. We had intended to do that with our cruising into history, which was organized in part and by many people, but especially by Ron Daniels of the Haiti Support Committee. Trans-Africa Forum and its president, Bill Fletcher, has been very clear on his position in terms of Haiti, and has come under an attack because of his position. Clearly, we were in support of the institutions of democracy, the growth of those institutions within the country, and certainly opposition has always been that we would be critically supportive of what was happening in Haiti and critically supportive of Aristide's regime. But it's important for us to understand that this is a very embryonic democracy in its embryonic stages after 200 years of a history in which over 30 governments have been 30 coup d'etats. So I think, on the one hand, what we must realize that Haiti is paying the price, as someone said, redemption song, paying the price for what has occurred more than 200 years ago now, is paying the price for that, that it was the first country, in a sense, to defeat slavery. And defeat slavery in such a resounding way. And the idea of setting up this new country of former slaves, independent former slaves, was something that was distasteful in the mouths of the young America.
In fact, the U.S. not wanting to recognize Haiti because the U.S. Congress of the 19th century concerned that if slaves in this country learned about what happened in Haiti, that it was born of a slave rebellion, that something like that could happen in the United States.
Well, there were certain slave rebellions that did occur. I mean, if historians would just look through the Denmark Vesey Plan rebellion, which certainly was stopped before it happened, was to commandeer ships in the South Carolina. Charleston Harbor and take those ships to Haiti. But besides this, what has happened is that this has been a concerted effort on the one part to destabilize this country, destabilize the democracy, and at the same time as we talk about the celebration, the bicentennial celebration, it was most notable that France and the United States were absent from that celebration, and a celebration which was in some sense undermined by the opposition, by forces who did not want that celebration to happen. There was activity that allowed to dismiss that celebration as unimportant.
Congressmember Barbara Lee, what about the Democratic Party when it comes to Haiti right now? Certainly, Senator Christopher Dodd has spoken out very strongly about what's going on there right now. The Congressional Black Caucus has taken the lead. John Edwards, the presidential candidate, actually said that it's not just about whether the U.S. should have gotten involved before. It's about whether, you know, raising questions about whether they're behind what happened now. But overall, the Democratic Party has, to put it politely, not been very outspoken on this issue.
Well, of course, with regard to countries of African descent in the Caribbean and Africa, it takes a while for the Democratic Party to really speak out, catch up, and move forward. And let me just mention one thing, how important one thing Danny said was, with regard to these thugs and murderers and former members of the paramilitary not being a part of the new government, there's no way that they should be involved. In fact, they should be arrested, tried, and convicted. And I hope that the United States government understands that and stops supporting them, because it was because of the U.S. support for these groups with U.S.-made weapons, very well organized, that they were, you know, and very, I guess you would say, very strategic in their moves, that they were able to succeed. The Democratic Party, as I said, is late coming to the realization that our country was, in fact, involved in destabilizing Haiti. I serve as co-chair of the Haiti Task Force with Congressman Conyers, also on the International Relations Committee. And for years, we've worked very closely with our colleagues in Congress to try to get, one, the humanitarian assistance and the IDB loans released. And during this process, have been talking to members, and of course, they've supported our efforts, but never have really, you know, gotten, I would say, vested in the whole effort. Last week, I met with Senator Dodd, along with Congressman Conyers and others, and we were trying to figure out where do we go from here. That was a meeting where we met with the French ambassador and the Canadian ambassador, who really did support at that meeting providing assistance for President Aristide in order to effectuate a ceasefire. They did a complete reverse in 24 hours, which I assume the United States got to them. But I think that what you're hearing from Senator Dodd, who has been very involved in this issue for many, many years, and Senator Kerry, I spoke with him, I think it was Friday night in Oakland, and his staff have been very careful to understand what the Congressional Black Caucus has done, the history of Haiti. And really, I think Senator Kerry is taking the correct position publicly, and I just hope he continues, and, you know, not only during this crisis, but throughout the election, to talk about United States' involvement in Haiti and U.S. policy toward Haiti and how it created the unfortunate, very devastating circumstances that we're seeing now.
Will you be introducing any legislation?
Well, I'm talking about hearings tomorrow. That's the first thing we're going to do. I want to find the answer to these questions that I hope Mr. Noriega comes. We're going to see where this goes congressionally. We're looking at the appropriate investigative mechanisms to request hearings. I don't know if it's going to be the Intelligence Committee. I know we have jurisdiction in international relations.
Barbara Lee, we have to wrap it up here. Okay. As we turn to the CEO of the Steele Foundation, the security firm based in San Francisco that was supposedly protecting Jean-Bertrand Aristide. 15 seconds, last comment, Danny Glover.
Well, I think clearly there's a major crisis, not only in terms of Haiti, but as Ramsey Clark stated, with popular democracies. Certainly the democracies in Venezuela, the democracies in Argentina, Brazil, Bolivia, Peru, are right now at a very crossroad of a very difficult situation. The United States has clearly said through its aggressive statement and position on Haiti that it does not like the idea of popular democracies. You know, here's a government that was elected by the majority of Haitians, like many other governments in the region. So I think it's a signal to a number of governments in the region that you better step in line and stay in place.
Danny Glover, Congressmember Barbara Lee.
It's Haiti today. Is it Brazil, Venezuela, or Cuba tomorrow? And people need to understand that.
I want to thank you very much for being with us as we go after the break to the CEO of the Steel Foundation. Stay with us.
Old pirates, yes, they rob I. Sold I to the merchant ships. Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit. But my head was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly. Won't you help us sing songs of freedom? Is all I ever had,
all I ever had,
redemption songs. Emancipate yourself from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy. None of them can stop your time. How long shall they kill our prophets? While we stand aside and look, oh, well, some say it's just...
Sweet Honey, singing Redemption Song. This is Democracy Now!, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. As we reported yesterday on Democracy Now!, Jean-Bertrand Aristide says he was told by U.S. officials this weekend if he did not leave Haiti, paramilitary leader Guy Philippe would storm the palace and Aristide would be killed. Congressmember Maxine Waters said on this program yesterday Aristide was told by the U.S. that they were withdrawing Aristide's U.S. security. But just what was Aristide's, quote, U.S. security? Turns out Aristide was being guarded by a private security firm based in San Francisco. It's called the Steel Foundation. It's made up of former U.S. Special Forces soldiers, intelligence officers, and other security experts. The company's been on contract with the Haitian government since 98. The Miami Herald is now reporting the White House had blocked a last-minute attempt by Aristide to bolster his U.S. security as the paramilitaries reached the Capitol. The paper said U.S. officials prevented reinforcements from the Steel Foundation from going to Haiti last week to protect Aristide. According to media reports, the Steel Foundation asked the U.S. Embassy in Port-au-Prince Saturday whether they could count on American protection in the event of rebel hostilities at the presidential palace. They were reportedly told no such protection would be provided. Steel Foundation knows well the Haitian leaders of the current coup. In December, they fought back, 2001, a coup attempt by a paramilitary leader, Guy Philippe, who'd been trained by U.S. Special Forces in Ecuador in the early 90s. In that coup attempt, Guy Philippe led two dozen heavily armed men in attacking the National Palace in Port-au-Prince, killing four people. Aristide was not in the palace at the time and survived the coup attempt. Following the incident, Aristide's Steel Guard rose from about 10 to about 60 in 2000 after an apparent coup attempt the previous December, according to Herald reports. Yesterday, we managed to reach the CEO of the Steel Foundation, Ken Kurtz, on the telephone at his corporate headquarters in San Francisco.
The Republic of Haiti contracted with the Steel Foundation to provide protective services and training to the Office of the President in the Republic of Haiti in 1998, and we have successfully carried out that contract since then.
President Aristide is saying that he was kidnapped. Can you comment on that?
I haven't heard President Aristide say that he was kidnapped. I can tell you that the mission of our company is to protect the head of state from assassination, kidnapping, and embarrassment, and that's what we did.
He says he told a Congress member, and he was just on CNN, and he said he was kidnapped.
Again, I haven't heard President Aristide say that, so I can't comment.
Have some Steel Foundation security gone with him to the Central African Republic?
I cannot comment on that.
And were Steel Foundation personnel there on Saturday night?
We were with the president when he left the country.
Did you ask the U.S. government in Haiti whether you could count on more protection if rebels attack the president?
I cannot comment on that.
Were you concerned in these last days that you didn't have enough personnel there, given the environment?
Well, I think for weeks the government was deeply concerned about protecting themselves against a rebel force that was very well armed. And I think that over the last few weeks you saw that President Aristide asked for international assistance to be able to protect his government, a democratically elected government, against a invading rebel force, essentially.
How well-armed was that rebel force? Is that rebel force?
I can't go into specifics. They were well-armed.
Is the Steele Foundation still in Haiti protecting other personnel of the government of Haiti?
I cannot confirm that.
Does the Steele Foundation work hand-in-hand with the U.S. military in a case like this, with U.S. soldiers coming in?
No, not at all. We work, in this case, we work for the government of Haiti. We took direction directly and only from the president.
Was the president concerned that the military or that his security forces would be leaving? Did the Steele Foundation ever tell the president that you would be leaving him if he did not leave?
No, no, of course not. We've been in Haiti since 1998, and we've been through one attempted coup d'etat December 17th, a couple years ago. We've been through some very, very serious situations. The people that worked in Haiti protecting the president were 100% dedicated to President Aristide and ensuring that we fulfilled our mission and our focus, which was to ensure his safety as well as the safety of his family.
Mm-hmm. Are many of the forces that you work with or the personnel that Steele Foundation works with, are they veterans of U.S. Special Forces?
Our personnel are all trained in their respective skills. The Steele Foundation is a multinational corporation. Our team in Haiti, I can confirm, is an international team.
The attempted coup was carried out by who? In December 17th?
I think there were a number of people. Guy Philippe was certainly involved in that. I think that historically, if you look at the individuals that are involved in this quote-unquote rebel force, they are all historical individuals in Haiti who had a very active role in some extreme violence in the country.
Do you think President Aristide had reason to be concerned?
I can't speak on behalf of President Aristide.
Were your men concerned?
We were concerned about the overall security situation in the country, as protecting the president. We consistently made sure that we had proper resources in place.
Did the U.S. government ever tell the Steele Foundation to leave?
No.
What did they tell you?
I can't comment on that.
Did they ever say they wouldn't help you in these last days when it got more and more precarious, more and more dangerous?
I can't comment on that.
Do you feel you had the support of the U.S. government there in protecting President Aristide?
It was our job to protect President Aristide, not the job of the United States government.
I'm looking at a piece in the Miami Herald that says the Bush administration blocked a last-minute attempt by President Aristide to bolster his bodyguards, mostly former U.S. Special Forces members, fearing he wanted them to organize and lead a counterattack against the rebels. U.S. officials also forced a small group of extra bodyguards from Steele Foundation to delay their flight from the United States to Haiti from Sunday to later day, too late to help Aristide, said the sources who are close to Aristide. Is that true?
No. No, it's not.
Did those reinforcements come?
I cannot comment.
Do you feel President Aristide's life was in danger when he left?
I think that the security situation in the country was very serious, and I think that if international assistance would have arrived, it would have certainly stabilized the situation.
Did you call for it as well?
It wasn't our place to call for that. Our only mission was to provide protection to the office of the president.
And you felt that if forces had come in, it would have shored him up, it would have protected him?
I think it would have stabilized the security situation in the country.
Did any of your men get delayed in coming down in adding to the contingent around the president?
I cannot comment on it.
Steele Foundation was the company that was there to protect the president. In the end, the president clearly felt he had gotten the message, he said, from U.S. forces that he would no longer be protected. Why do you think he felt that way?
I can't comment on why President Aristide, or what President Aristide said. I guess anybody watching the news can see that it was the security situation in the country was dire.
Do you think the U.S. military could have made a difference at the end?
Well, I would probably turn that question around to you and ask, looking at the U.S. military coming in the day after he left, and that in itself ensuring some stability, do you think that if they would have come in a day before, that would have created stability?
And that is Kenneth Kurtz, CEO of the Steele Foundation. You can hear the whole interview on our website at democracynow.org. Steele Foundation works in security around the world, including in Iraq. I asked Mr. Kurtz if the Steele Foundation is providing security for Paul Bremer. He said he would not comment. And that does it for today's program. Again, our website has comprehensive coverage of the situation in Haiti, democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Sharif Abdelkaddous, and Anagar Elizabeth Press, Jeremy Scahill. Mike DeFilippo is our engineer. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.